From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today's speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of Christ with His people in the house of affliction. The text is the familiar account in John chapter 11 of the raising of Lazarus. In the previous broadcasts, Dr. Cairns dealt with the Savior's miracles of healing in the town of Bethany, where He cured Simon the leper and raised Lazarus from the dead. In both instances, Christ manifested both His power to heal as well as His sovereignty in how He does it. Now Dr. Cairns focuses on the witness Christ proclaimed during His visit to Bethany. Before the message, however, let's hear today's hot topic, which reports that Ted Haggard is in a hurry to end counseling.
A year ago, Ted Haggard agreed to counseling under the direction of New Life, the church he had led to megachurch status. This came in the wake of a scandal that rocked not only the New Life Church, but the whole evangelical community, and gave the enemies of the Lord plenty of ammunition to shoot at God's people. Haggard occupied a position of great prominence. As well as being pastor of a megachurch, he was the president of the National Association of Evangelicals, in which position he got to represent a large section of the country's evangelicals before President Bush and other top political figures. Haggard also took a leading role in opposing so-called gay rights in Colorado, where he lived and ministered. Thus, when it was disclosed that he had carried on a 3-year relationship with a homosexual prostitute and had purchased illegal drugs from him, Haggard's ministry was in shreds. His dabbling in drugs, if dabbling it was, he described it in similar terms to Bill Clinton, who smoked but didn't inhale. His dabbling in drugs was wrong, and was enough to put him out of the pulpit. However, all that paled into insignificance in comparison with the homosexual liaison. The hypocrisy of Haggard was evident not only in his campaigning against homosexuality while he was having an affair with a male prostitute, but in the answers he gave to an interviewer at the 2004 NAE meeting in Denver. Asked if he believed in separation, Haggard replied that he did believe in personal separation and in separation from other faith groups, but not from born-again believers. The hypocrisy was that, as his immoral affair shows, he did not practice personal separation. It was all a lie. As I said, in the light of all this scandal, Ted Haggard stepped down from his pastorate. He was all contrite and willing to undergo counseling. Now he has asked New Life to discontinue the counseling. They say that it's premature to stop now, but he has made a unilateral declaration of independence on the issue and has called a halt. In other words, he's cured and ready to go. That's the part that bothers me. Ted Haggard has to realize that his breach of the trust placed in him makes him ineligible for any further involvement in public ministry. If he has repented and been restored to fellowship with God, as I hope he has, he should quit thinking of rehabilitating himself in the eye of the public and set about the arduous task of mending his personal relationships. He may, in quiet, unassuming ways, seek to use his hard experience to help others in need. But he needs to forsake all image building, which was probably part of what got him into trouble in the first place. New Life leaders have stated publicly that Mr. Haggard should go into secular employment and not seek to find a place in Christian ministry. They're right. He is wrong to cut himself loose from counseling. He would be even more wrong to pursue the dream he announced last year of raising financial support to pursue, wait for it, a counseling ministry. He can't wait to end his own counseling so he can start counseling others. If this sounds like madness, that's because it is madness. Forget about it, Ted.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Now we're turning to the Word of God this morning in the Gospel of John. We're going to read in chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?"
This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that which was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. And we read a few verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Just to get the setting, we read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll take up the reading at verse 6. It came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Verse 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to these familiar passages from his own precious word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day morning, I noted with you that Bethany was a village that was very appropriately named, for it means simply the house of affliction. We noted that as he approached the great climax of his ministry, in the last days before his crucifixion, the Lord Jesus Christ was a frequent visitor to Bethany and to his people who lived there. And if I can go by the number of people with whom I have spoken or from whom I have heard after last Sabbath morning's study in the Scripture, I can only say that many of us found great comfort in this simple fact that our Lord Jesus Christ was a frequent caller at Bethany, visiting his people who were called upon to dwell there. For that told us that our Savior always visits his afflicted, hurting, suffering and sorrowing people. He comes at the right time. He always comes with the right word. And he always does the right thing. That's easy to say. And yet, there is nothing more immediately important for us to grasp in the Christian life. We were singing that hymn this morning. Every time we sing it, I am reminded that when, way back in 1966, the Northern Irish government decided that they would seek to crush the Protestant witness of this church, and they trumped up charges against 3 of our ministers and put them in jail and hounded the rest of us wherever we went preaching, threatening the same thing, that when our men were imprisoned, this was the hymn with which they made the old granite walls of the Crumlin Road prison in Belfast to resound. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown. If I've Jesus, Jesus only, I possess a cluster rare. That song, Jesus only, if I have Christ, in the hour of trouble, trial, temptation, suffering, bereavement, or any other kind of affliction, if I have Jesus, Jesus only, I need no other hand to support, no other help to comfort, no other friend to guide. If I have Jesus, Jesus only, I have the light of the world, I have Him who is the rock and defense and fortress and high tower of His people. I have the One who is the strength and support of all His people. I have the One who is God's Son manifested in flesh, the only Savior, Redeemer of God's elect. If I have Jesus, I have all. What want I more? We were then looking, as we thought of Christ with His people in the house of affliction, at the works that He performed there with them. Healing leprosy, dealing therefore figuratively with sin, and making sinners into His friends. Raising Lazarus from the dead, quickening souls dead in trespasses and sins, and corrupted with their depravity. And comforting His people in the hour of their need, with His presence, with His assurance, and what an assurance it is, that even though they may find it difficult to discern at any given moment in their suffering, yet this suffering is for the glory of God. And God will glorify His name. He will magnify Himself. He will forward the program of His will through the suffering of His people. That, my friend, is again something so easy to say, and yet it is so difficult to grasp when you've got on, as it were, the dark glasses of affliction. When you look out and everything seems bleak and black, and Satan hisses in your ear, God has forsaken you. God has forsaken you. There is no help for him in God. You remember the psalmist had to put up with that affliction, adding to all his other troubles and trials? No help in God. It's interesting that immediately after that, he inserts the Selah. While I know that many take that to be a mere musical notation, I believe that it's more than that. And every time you see it in one of the Psalms of David, you're invited to stop. Not just to take a breath to sing, but to ponder, to think on that. When David said, they said to me, there is no help for him in God. He said, think of that. Man, what would life be like were it true there is no help in God? How could we endure if there were no help for us in God? But thank God it's the devil's lie. Because there is help for the people of God. And while we sometimes cannot grasp it, we're tempted to despair, the Lord Jesus assures us, this also is part of the plan for the glory of God. And you know, when you take your Bible, you'll understand something that's vital to becoming powerful, effective, and useful in the cause of Christ. And that is that God always tempers the sword that He is going to use in the hottest fires. God does not make great saints in the lap of luxury and ease and trouble-free living. Take your Bible. Never once do you find God making a great saint or a great warrior of the faith or a great man of prayer or a great soul winner or a great missionary or a great anything for God. God never makes any man or woman great and effective for Him except it be in the furnace of affliction, where He knocks away all the props, brings us by naked faith to trust our Savior and to know He is doing all things well. And this too will glorify Him. So He comforted them with His presence, with His assurance that her suffering will glorify God, with His promise and with the demonstration of His power.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.